So I'm the network coordinator. I just wanted to re-emphasise Steve's thanks for coming today. We really appreciate your time and taking the time to come and spend this day with us and learn a bit more, hopefully. I'm just going to quickly run through what we do in the network and potentially reiterate the fact that we often get asked, particularly from local kind of community groups, and that how much does it cost to join or what do they have to pay to register. And it's all free. The idea is that it's a kind of a two-way pathway. You know, we provide whatever we possibly can, and we certainly don't charge you for it, and we hope that we'll get some feedback for you in any way, shape or form. This is our first kind of set of roadshows, but this is where we say a small allocation of funding goes to each node and territory each year. And I think we gave everyone a feedback form when you walked in, and we'd really appreciate some feedback because with no feedback, we assume what we've done is good. But, you know, if you have ideas about how we can help in your area or things that you think we could do or that you need, then, you know, if time and money permits, then we're more than happy to look at those things.
This is where I show that I've just jumped. Okay, so we have some major activities that we're doing in the network. Communication forms of e-bulletins and network updates and newsletters. We have a notice board, a must-reads and grey literature section, a research support section for students and event sections, and all of these are available on our website. As Steve said, our membership is somewhere up around 964 members. This has been done by invites particularly, but also we're currently sitting at a booth at the ESA conference, but also we send out personal invites to everyone. We found that people are a little bit sceptical about joining things that can't arrive in their email box, but this is where I say anyone and everyone is welcome. We originally started out with a heavy bias towards researchers because that was the group we knew, but now our membership's actually made up more by stakeholders, whether they be state, federal, local government, NRMs, or community groups. And we're continuing to expand. Like I said, our belief is that you know, anyone can join, and we hope that you can get something out of the network. So this is the website. If you've picked up, there's also brochures and information sheets. A lot of the examples that I'm going to show you now are actually sitting on that front table there. There's also lots of information sheets there from the CSIRO group as well. But all of it is available within our website. And basically, it's all, you can become a member, and there are a few things behind the membership link, but most of it is now sitting on within the front page that you can go and browse at any time. So we have a notice board. The idea behind the notice board is that particularly it was put up for stakeholders that could put up research areas or research ideas, not necessarily associated with money, but can be associated with money, to say what they needed done in their area. And if you can't figure out and you're technologically challenged like I am, you can actually, there's a link there where you can send it to someone and we can load it up for you. We also have events that come up. We put jobs often we have people sending jobs, particularly in climate change adaptation or climate change impacts research. We have a student scholarship, a notice board as well as an area where you can put up student project suggestions, because we often have students saying, I really want to work in this area, but, you know, what research needs to be done? And, of course, the answer is that the ideas are endless. Like I said, this is the main idea is to link stakeholder needs with researchers. It doesn't have to have associated funding. It can simply be an idea that you have that you'd like to have researched. Advertise student projects and jobs and events notices. The idea also is to try and cut down the number of emails that we send people. We know that the last thing you need in your inbox is yet another email, and the idea is that you could also go here and look for these this information. We have a must-reads and a grey literature section. So a lot of the must-reads are published papers in this area. While there's lots of impacts research, and there will continue to be so, the biggest challenge that we've found is actually moving people into that adaptation area. And there are actually case studies out there, and we are looking at doing a literature case study on the website, but that's still a thing in progress. There's also lots of grey literature, and if you have any grey literature which you feel that would be useful, we'd love to upload it or put a link to it. Things like the report that Steve showed previously, and I've been asked many times in these road shows to send that report out, so when I do, from this day we upload all the presentations and talks, we give you all the draft information from the workshop from this afternoon, and we upload it onto the website, which is, it's already sitting there for the other three that we've done, and we try to do it within the first week or so after this. We also have a database and GIS information section on that website. We did originally start out thinking that we would actually collate data and data sources, but then we found out a little bit into that that there are some very good initiatives that are getting have a lot better facilities than what we do. So now we provide links to ARCS and ANZ and Atlas of Living Australia. And if you go to the website, Andrew helps us with this. He can either help you with it or show you where to put that. One of our major communication things is a e-bulletin where we try and do a focus on each state or territory. We introduce some of our steering committee. We also do a conference update and any important papers that we know that have recently come out. These are all downloadable from that front page of the website as well. Our last one was in October, and our next one will be January next year. We're also doing information sheets on kind of interest areas. We've already done one on species responses to climate change and assisted migration. We have Joanne here today who writes them for us, and if you have any that you feel would be important to your area, then she'd love to hear from you. And we're also trying to very soon release a fire and climate change one and a conservation planning one. The other thing that we've done, and this is particularly associated with the NARP funding, so because the idea behind the NARP funding is that that you show a strong collaborative group, not only with researchers across states but also with stakeholders, is that for each one of the original questions which are here, there you can go and you can search for a researcher either within your state or area of interest, and find out who those researchers are, or another researcher could go and find out who, maybe they might work in Queensland, but they want someone that works in the same area of interest in another state or territory, and you can go and look at that database. And that's also freely available on the website. As you know, we're doing road shows. We've already done three. We've got the one today. We've now set a date for the South Australian one, and we'll be doing the Tasmanian one in early March. And the other two will be done throughout the rest of the year. The other area that we felt was very important was to try and encourage people to think beyond just impacts climate change research, as I said before, and push the ideas of adaptation research. And to do this, the network has provided student funding, project funding for honours students and master's students. We funded 7 students in 2009 and 8 in 2010, and this has been very successful. We've had lots of projects beyond that apply for the funding, but unfortunately still trying to get people to think in that adaptation area is quite hard. But anyway, the project summaries, as they come back and they report back to us and what their findings are for their project, are all also available on the website. The other source of funding to kind of build that capacity in this area has also been PhD collaborative travel grants, and it's been to encourage PhD students to visit another university or institute that where they can gain skills that they can't get at their own. Once again, we've funded 9 students in 2009 and 2010, and their reports as they come in and they've completed their travel are also available on the website. We've had international speakers which we've invited to present in different nodes, which is to say the state and territories. In 2009 we had Jeff Price and Rachel Warren. This year we had Jessica Hellman come in November, and we also welcome people to suggest anyone that you think might be useful or you know that are international people that would be great to come and talk within Australia. This is funded between us and the core NCARF group, and they do have a very good seminar series that is mainly based through logistics out of Brisbane, but all of the talks from those seminar series are available and downloadable from their website as well if you miss out on that. And our last major activity that we do is workshops. We've had three carried out and completed so far. Conservation planning one, which was in November 2009, which Steve showed you some of those results. As soon as that is published and available, that will also go out as a advertisement as available on the website as well as into the e-bulletin. There was a genetic translocation one in April this year. We've just completed a managed relocation one in York. And we have two more planned for next year. One will be a riparian vegetation one, and the idea we're now trying to link between networks because there's so many areas that cross over between that groups of networks. And this is where I also say that if you saw another network there that you're interested in being part of and joining, I'm more than happy to take your name or email address and provide it to them. So we have a riparian one, which will be June next year, looking at the importance of and what can be done for riparian vegetation and the climate change, and also an estuarine ecosystems one. And that's my piece on my
Great, thanks, Yvette.